Praise the Lord.
I am bound for the promised land too. All right, if you will, turn in your Bible to Job chapter 21. Job chapter 21, and I'm going to start reading at verse 7. I'm going to preach this morning on the counsel of the wicked, especially the wealthy wicked. See if you can see what their counsel is in here. Job chapter 21, I'm going to start reading it. Verse 7 says, "Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth and faileth not. Their cow calveth, how do you say that? Their cow calveth and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Lo, their good is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me." Now, just to give you a little bit of background, the book of Job is an argument between four or five men, and they go back and forth in their argument. Job got himself into some trouble. He didn't sin to do it, but God allowed some horrible things to happen to Job. He lost all of his wealth in one day. He lost all of his children in one day. All of his children died in one day. And then he lost his health in another day. And he was there in pain, alone, scraping his skin because of his pain. And his friends come to see him, and they give off the impression that, well, God blesses the righteous and he curses the wicked. So, Job, you just need to repent of your sin, get right with God, and everything's going to be okay. God will forgive you. God will bring you back in. God's merciful. This was their counsel. And Job had the audacity to say, I didn't do anything to cause this. He wasn't claiming not to be a sinner. He was just saying, what happened to me is not because I rejected God. I'm not living in a wicked way. And then they would say, well, obviously you obviously didn't help some poor widow that asked you, or obviously, you know, you turned your back on somebody who was in need, or obviously, because if you hadn't have lived that way, well, God would be blessing you right now. You read the chapter before chapter 21, that's a guy named Zophar the Naamathite, and he says, God is always against the wicked. If they have joy, it's just for a moment. Everything goes wrong for the wicked. He's always against them. He's fighting them all the way. And if you read the chapter after that, you'll find Eliphaz the Temanite saying, no, God always blesses the righteous. And listen, if you've been wicked, you could just repent of your sins and come back to God, and he'll bless you, and you'll heap up gold of Ophir. It'll be just mountains of gold, and you'll have plenty of silver, and everything's going to go well for you. Why? Well, because you repent and you get right with God. You see, that's called the prosperity gospel. We got an awful lot of people preaching that nowadays. And they'll say to you, and you hear it on the television, and it's amazing how these preachers that preach the prosperity gospel have names like dollar. I didn't mean to just pick on that one, but I can't think of anybody else's name that seems relevant. But the idea is, it's funny to me that somebody wants to tell you that if you are righteous, everything's going to go well. And you know what that means? That means everything's going okay for them. And so they have a certain wisdom, a certain arrogance, a certain philosophy. This is the philosophy of the wealthy wicked. Now, this philosophy doesn't work in communist China. You don't have any prosperity preachers over there. Because if you get saved in communist China, well, you go to jail. You lose your job. You wander from city to city. You assume that if you lose your job in China for Christ, you assume God has called you to be a missionary. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. Most people who accept Jesus Christ throughout history, throughout every place else in the world, have suffered because of it. That's why the prosperity gospel is so evil. And yes, I did. I said it's evil. It's evil. It's evil. It's wickedness. It's them saying, I actually went to a Bible study at work. And, the Bible study with the guy, he says, hey, come on, we gotta have a Bible study. And I went over there to his Bible study to try to, you know, bless him, to help him out, whatever. And it was hard for me to keep my mouth shut. But he started asking, you know, well, we got something, he was mentioning all the things we need to pray for and what we can ask God for. And he mentioned in there that we could repent of sins like, you know, adultery and poverty. The sin of poverty. You ever heard of that one? Did you know that it was a sin to be poor? You see, I didn't know that. And can you see me chomping at the bit saying, I'm going to mess this guy's Bible study up because it ain't no sin to be poor. Right. Lazarus was poor, but his heart was right with God. And when he died, he was carried by the angels into paradise, to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man, that's what Jesus said, by the way. Jesus was no prosperity gospel preacher because Jesus said the rich man had everything well. He ate well every single day. And he was even sort of a philanthropic kind of a guy. And he allowed poor beggars to sit at his front door and he fed them his leftovers. Nice guy. But when he died, he went to hell. He lifted up his eyes in hell and being in the torments, he said, send Lazarus just that he would dip the tip of his finger in water and come and cool my tongue because I'm tormented in this flame. You see, Jesus was no prosperity gospel kind of a preacher. But it does so happen. It just does so happen that sometimes the wicked prosper. And by the way, that was Job's point. Like if you'll read in that same chapter, a little farther down, look at verse 23. What does Job say? One dieth in his full strength, being wholly at ease and quiet. His breasts are full of milk and his bones are moistened with marrow. Another dieth in the bitterness of his soul and never eateth with pleasure. You know what Job is saying? You cannot tell whether a person is right with God by his outward circumstances. Just because somebody's rich doesn't mean he's right with God. And just because somebody's suffering doesn't mean he's done something wrong. Now that's what Job is arguing the whole way through his book. And these other friends of his, three guys that were about his age and one younger guy, and they're all telling him, Job, just repent. Don't be so stubborn. We all know you've sinned because look what happened to you. All right. I don't believe in the prosperity gospel, and I don't believe you can tell anything. I agree with Job here. I don't believe you can tell anything by the circumstances. I'll tell you what. We here in America, we live in a bubble, and just about everybody can prosper. We can all do pretty good. And if you're suffering, I'm not picking on you. I realize if you're here in America, you can possibly suffer, and you can get some health issues going bad, and you can have a lot of things going wrong. But I got news for you. An awful lot of people prosper in America that don't deserve it. There's an awful lot of prosperity here, and so people have this idea that everything's going to be okay if you're just righteous. And you know, think about the smugness that comes off with that, where you say, if you're righteous, everything's going to be all right. God's going to be on your side. God's going to take care of you. God is your co-pilot. He's helping you. He'll give you some tips for the stock market and stuff. But that's not our God. It's easy for Americans to think this way. Most of the rest of the world can't. They can't do it. Now, let's point out that prosperity is not necessarily your greatest friend. Prosperity might be your worst enemy. An awful lot of people, because they are prosperous, don't seek after God. They get all proud. They get all uppity. They get feeling like, you know, they can handle this. They go all the way till they're old and their conscience is so seared and calloused that they couldn't work up a tear for their sin if they tried. And then they die in their sin. Why? Oh, because everything went their way. And so when God sends you a little bit of heartache and a little bit of trouble, thank Him. Amen. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because you're not letting me forget how much I depend upon you and how important you are in my life. All right, what is this philosophy of the wicked? What is this counsel of the wicked that Job says? I have nothing to do with that. I don't believe it. That's what the wicked say. The wicked say this. I don't agree with it. What is it? He mentions four things, by the way. I was hoping you were paying attention. He says, if you'll start first of all in verse 14, he says, therefore they say unto God. Why do they say these unto God? Why? Because they're wealthy and everything's going their way. And even when they die in peace and it goes quick and they don't drag it out suffering. Everything's just great. So because of that, therefore, that's what the word therefore means. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us. The first counsel of the wicked that we find here is self-sufficiency. We can handle it. We don't need God. What's the next one? For we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. Oh, what does that say? Self-satisfaction. They don't have any spiritual desire. The third one you'll see in the next one. What is the Almighty that we should serve Him? Self-importance. They think there's no specialness about God that they should have to serve Him. What the pride, what the arrogance that they have because they've got everything going their way. And then there's a fourth one. And what profit should we have if we pray unto Him? Ha ha! Look at it. Self-interest. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? I go to church. What's in it for me? I read the Bible. What's in it for me? I listen to the preacher on the radio. What's in it for me? Now, this is the counsel of the wicked that Job says, I have nothing to do with that. I don't agree with it. I don't believe it. And he disagrees with it. All right, I'm going to disagree with it too. One at a time. Self-sufficiency. They say to God, depart from us. Have you ever noticed people saying that? You say, well, I never actually heard anybody say, God, depart from us. Well, you know, they did in the government. The government says, we don't have anything to do with God. Even though our government says, in God we trust, right? In God we trust. So they kick God out of school and education, don't they? Say, we don't have anything about God. Nope, no prayer in school. And if you're a valedictorian, you got to submit your speech first so that you can't say nothing about God. You can't say, God, thank you. I got to tell you something. It would not be immoral if you submitted whatever they want and then you say whatever you want. That's not unethical. It's not immoral. They might refuse to give you your diploma. I don't know. But nobody's going to tell me what to say if I'm valedictorian and if I want to thank God for it. There's no censorship. Not here. We're not going to let that happen. You can stand up and say the truth. Now, they'll tell you you can't say anything about God. They tell me in my work, can't say nothing about God. Nope. Can't mention God. Well, that's just nonsense. Why? Because you'll offend somebody. Who knows? I don't know. But that's the way people are when they got stuff going their way. I mean, when you're healthy and you've got prosperity and everything's going pretty good, you can say, God, I got this, God. I got it. I'm okay. Have you ever talked to somebody and said, I want to talk to you about your soul and God and all that? And they say, no, I'm good. I'm good. No, thank you. I'm fine. Why? God, depart from me. Get out of my way. I've even had them tell me that. Get out of my way. I'm trying to walk that way. Well, I was here first. Passing out tracks, yeah? I was here first. Got to go around, bud. Of course, sometimes they just knock you out of the way. I've actually had that happen. Hey, let me tell you something. There's a whole lot of people, just because they got everything going their way, they say, I don't need God. Right. They don't realize they need God. They don't realize. They have no understanding, no conception of the fact that they need God every single day of their life. And that the reason why they are alive is because of God. And that the reason why they're breathing is because of God. And I have said it once, I've said it 1,000 times, there's no such thing as artificial food. There is is no such thing as artificial. You don't have food factories out there. What they do to get food is they grow it because God put it in the seed to grow. And God provided the sunlight. And God provides the rain. And God provides all the stuff. And when you go out and harvest it, you get all proud of yourself and thinking, look what I've done for me. No! God did that for you. You can't live without God. You can't live without God's provision. You can't live. Hey, you didn't pay for your air. You got it from God. Now, science will say we don't need God. Depart from us. You know that French scientist, his name was it's in English you say Laplace. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it in French. Laplace or Laplace or Laplu, I don't know. But in French, this guy, he had this whole philosophy, he had it all worked out. And somebody asked him and said, well, where does God fit in? And he says, I have no need of that hypothesis. You see, I don't need God. Oh, really? How did it start? No, seriously. They say there was a big bang. What blew up? Yeah, where'd that come from? We'll say, well, we don't know. We're working on that. Don't give up. We'll figure that out sooner or later. You morons, you need God. You need God in every single one of your philosophies. All the philosophies need God. Something had to start it. It didn't start itself. All right. Self-sufficiency. They say, God, depart from me. You see, if your belly is full and everything's going well, you don't need God, right? I mean, if your girlfriend hadn't dumped you, you don't need God, right? If your child is healthy, you don't need God. But get your child sick. Oh, when that child gets sick. You know, they talk about there's no atheists in foxholes. Try in hospitals for for kids, pediatric hospitals. Try and see if there's any atheists there. They're all praying. Oh, God, help me. God, help me. God, please be merciful. Help my child. Oh, you know it. You know you need God. You ought to know you need God. But as long as you're healthy and everything's going well, you can get all smug and arrogant and say, depart from us. Depart from us. They don't want to talk about God. Have you ever noticed that? People that got everything going their way don't want to talk about God. Let's talk about something else. God is boring. They don't want to talk about that. No. They don't need God for their economy. Everything's going well. But you know when you lose your job and the economy tanks and everybody's standing in line at a soup kitchen? And it's not impossible. We might have to put a soup kitchen up, folks. And you're standing in line. All of a sudden you think you might need God. You realize your economy's not all that powerful? It's not all that strong? Oh, I know. They say the economy is so strong in America. You know, we're running the world. We got everything going our way. You do not know how close you are to losing it all. And I do remember, folks, I do remember Y2K. Some people still have generators they bought and they're going to have to save them for Y3K. Why? They started noticing, hey, if the electricity goes out, we all starve. No, that's what they figured out. And you know, I did my calculations and I thought, you know, they're right. If the electricity goes out, we all starve. Why? Because we can't grow our food with hoes. We got tractors and we need that. And we've got so few that are out there trying to grow the food. Once the electricity stops, we all starve. Do you realize how close you are to starving? And I read somewhere else that the Chinese already have our electrical grid hacked. They've already got control over it. Turn it off whenever they want. Now, I don't know if that's true. Don't quote me on that. But one way or the other. Isn't that amazing how self-sufficient people are when they're healthy? Oh, I'm healthy. I don't need God. Isn't that amazing how pity people can get up in the morning because they had a good meal that night, get up in the morning and forget all about God and not think about Him all day long. All day long. Never crossed your mind about God. Why? Self-sufficiency. You know what the Bible calls that? The counsel of the wicked. Depart from us. We don't need Him. We're okay. I'm good, they say. I'm good. Well, you can't get rid of sin without God, that's for sure. How are you going to do that? And you know, that's what the problem is. They're all talking about how they don't need God. They don't even consider God. They don't consider God's ways. They don't consider God's wisdom. They don't consider the need. But look at the sin in the world. Look at the sin. I know, I realize you got it. You got smallpox figured out. By the way, I hope you're not right. I hope smallpox is not coming back. I think you got that. I hope you got that wrong. I thought smallpox was completely wiped out all over the world. They were wondering whether to wipe out even the last few inoculations that they had for it. But so what? You got smallpox beat? How can you beat sin? How can you get rid of that? They're still going to be blowing up people and driving vans in the crowds. Why? Because of sin. They're going to be doing it because of sin. My goodness. All right. The second one is, they say, what do they say? Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of His ways. Why do they say that to God? Why do they say, we don't want to know what you think? We don't want to know what's in the Bible. We don't have any spiritual desire whatsoever. Did you know that if your belly is full, your heart just doesn't want spiritual things? That's an amazing fact, but it is absolutely true. When everything's going your way, you don't want the knowledge of God. You don't want the knowledge of His ways. You don't want Him to correct you. And you know how inconvenient God's ways are? How inconvenient His truths are? I hear there's a movie about inconvenient truth. Try that one. God says, I got some inconvenient truths for you. You're a sinner and you're on the road to hell. But you know, I'm full. I don't need God. So you don't need His wisdom. You don't need the book of Proverbs. They don't want to know His ways. Try to get somebody to raise their kids the way God said to, but everything's going their way. So what they say, no, I'm not raising my kids that way. I would never spank my kids, they say. God says, you hate them. I'm not making that up. The Bible says you hate your children if you don't spank them. Try making a marriage the way God said. You know what they say now? We don't need God's... That's old-fashioned. Marriage between a man and a woman? Come on, that's old-fashioned. Oh, you morons. I can't help you if you're that stupid. Really? Seriously? Hey, God's the one who invented this whole thing. Man, what are you talking about? You don't need God's ways? God's the one who set it all up. You can't change what you are. I don't care. You get a little six-year-old kid says, Daddy, I don't think I'm a girl. I think I'm a boy. Well, tell him better. Explain something to him. God made you the way He made you, and you can be thankful to God, and who cares what you feel on the inside? Get wise. Get wise. And I know sooner or later they're going to throw us in jail for saying that. Or they're going to discriminate. They're going to say, we're discriminating against people. Hey, let me tell you something. God's the one who set this up. It's God you got your complaint against. If you don't think you're really a boy, even though you were born a boy, you think you're really a girl, hey, you're arguing with God, not with me. Amen. Excuse me if I don't change what I call you. I mean, I might call you dipstick or something, but if you were born a boy, I'm going to still think of you as a boy. I don't care if you're wearing a dress and have high heels. It doesn't matter to me. They don't want their society to be built after God's ways. They don't desire. You know, it's amazing how these kind of problems don't happen over there in the poor places. Right. These kind of problems don't happen where their people are hungry. It don't happen. I've been to those places. None of them are thinking that way. People who are thinking, where am I going to get my next meal, are not thinking, how can I get changed from a boy to a girl? I'm not trying to be mean to you if you've got gender dysphoria. I realize we're in such a sexually stimulated society. It's so full of, everybody's going to get confused. People are confused all over the place. I'm not blaming you any more than anybody else. I'm just telling you, why don't you go to God and say, God, help me. I want to do things your way. I want to believe like you. It'll be better for you. No, they say, we desire not the knowledge of His ways. Don't tell us what the Bible says about things. Why do we need to know what the Bible says? We've got psychiatrists. How about raising kids? We don't need the Bible, they say. We got Ritalin. We got Seroquel. We got Abilify. We got all the kind of stuff that'll help us raise our kids. So you drug your kids until they're grown, and then they need drugs the rest of their life. And then they got gender dysphoria. Hey, why don't you just listen to God? Why don't you let God tell you how to do things? It would be way better. He did invent you. All right. You don't desire the knowledge of His ways, and yet His ways tell you how to beat sin. How to beat death. How to beat judgment. All right. There's another one. Another one of these wonderful philosophies of the wicked, the wealthy wicked, the American wicked. He says, what is the Almighty that we should serve Him? Now that's called self-importance. Why should I follow God? Why should I follow the Bible? Why should I serve God? Why? In what way is God any better than me? These are humanists. These humanists think that humanity is the highest thing that ever happened. It's an amazing, and they think they were an accident. They think they're glorified chimpanzees. No, they really do believe that. They think they are glorified snails. Hey, you know why you should serve God? Because He's God. Amen. He made it all. He built it. He invested everything. It was His idea. Marriage was His idea. Children were His idea. All of nature was His idea. Blue skies, that was His idea.
Amen.
Yeah. Solar eclipse, His idea. Yeah. Do you realize if the sun and the moon weren't the same size, there would be no solar eclipses? Or it would be a completely different thing. The reason why we have such a huge moon, no other planet has that. We don't find them over, you know, at least this solar system, we don't have it. But here in this one, right here, we have a moon that's the same size as the sun in the sky, even though they're really different sizes way out there in space. But for us, looking at them, they're the same size. And that causes something very spectacular to happen, going to happen tomorrow. Woohoo! And everybody's all happy, but they don't need God, huh? They don't need God. I got news for you, folks. You're not that important.
That's right.
You are not the cat's meow.
Amen.
You are not what it's all about. God is.
Amen.
It's all about God.
Amen.
God's the one who did. You know why He made marriage? To teach us about Him.
Yes.
You know why He made children? To teach us about Him. You know why He made insects that bury themselves in a cocoon and after a few years come out as a butterfly or something else? You know why He did that? To teach you about Him. You want to know about the resurrection of the just? Just study nature. He did it. He did that so you'll understand Him. You understand jealousy? Yeah, you do. He wants you to know how He is. You understand sorrow? Yeah, you do. He wants you to know how He is. It's all really about Him. You are nobody without Him. You are nothing without Him. Absolutely nothing. Where you go around strutting like you're a peacock, going around saying, look at me, look at me, I'm all there is. No, you're not. You're nothing. You're not even terribly impressive among humans. Just get around angels. Just get around the redeemed that are already glorified. Woohoo! Something's gonna change. You'll fall down at somebody's feet. You know something? I hear people say, I'm gonna talk to God, I'm gonna ask Him this, or I'm gonna ask Him that. No, you're not. You're gonna take one look at God and you're gonna fall at your feet like His feet like you're dead. Just like you're dead. You'll fall down and say, oh, I didn't know. Just like Job did. He said, I spoke too soon. Now I see You. And I abhor myself. I abhor myself. That's what Job said, and he was the righteous one out of the group. Man, it's amazing how important you think it is, how you think you are. Have you ever heard people complain to God? Sounds like they've got some expectations. Well, God, how come You let this happen? I had a lawyer friend of mine tell me he used to believe in God and then his son died. So he dumped him. He said, I don't believe in Him anymore. Wow. Sound like you had an expectation that God had to take care of every whim of yours. I even asked him, I said, don't you think being God gives Him some prerogative? I mean, being God? Being God, the very one that gives you breath and life and the food that you eat and everything. Being God, the very maker of everything, the one who invented it all and invested all the energy. Being God gives him no right to take away your son. He's got the right. He's got the power. He's got the will. He wants to wake you up. He wants you to know who he is. Do you know who he is? Has it ever crossed your mind how glorious he is? How amazing he is? He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind and all thy strength. You're supposed to love him. Why? He's lovable. He deserves to be loved. He deserves to be praised. He deserves your joy. He deserves your sorrow. He deserves anything he wants out of you. He doesn't owe you anything, folks. Isn't it amazing how people are so self-important they think God owes them? They think God owes them something. Like God owes me life and God owes me happiness and God owes me stuff. God doesn't owe you life and God doesn't owe you happiness and God doesn't owe you stuff. Everything you've gotten from him has been a gift. There's another one. I called it self-interest. They say, and what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Have you ever noticed how people are always wondering, what's in it for me? Listen, if you want a big church, we're not really a very big church. We get it. We understand. We're not really that great of preachers. We're called a functioning church. We believe in the church that functions with its members. We don't let people compete to see who's the better preacher to hire them. That's not how we do it. We just raise up our preachers right here in this church. It's a functional way of doing things. It's the way the Bible said to do it. That's why we do it. And that's why you've got some dumb hicks up here preaching and singing and, you know, whatever. That's just all we are. But hey, let me tell you something. If you want a big church, all you got to do is do it that other way where you give people stuff. You make sure that they're taken care of and so that the church offers them something. If the church offers them something, they'll come. And if the church doesn't offer them enough, they'll go somewhere where they offer them more. Anything cross your mind that's wrong with that? That it's about you? You think it's all about you? Didn't you know that going to church was for God? It's not about you. It's not about what you get out of it. It's what you give to God. That's what church is about. It's never been about you. I know your mama said it was about you all your life. She said you were special and everybody else exists for your pleasure. She told you that day in and day out by the way she treated you, but it never was true. That's one problem with having just one or two kids. They think they're special. Have half a dozen and they all know they're not special. When you got mom running around ragged saying, "Oh, will somebody stop saying, mommy, look it." Kid comes in and says, "Daddy, this is what happened." Who cares? Fix it. Take care of it yourself. It's amazing how people in a wealthy place where everything's going their way have this attitude that it's all about me. What do I get out of it? What's in it for me? And that's the wrong attitude. It's the counsel of the wicked. Job says, I have never had anything to do with that. I've never believed like that. I've never acted like that. Even when I was wealthy and I had all my kids all around me and we had our good times, even in all that time, I never felt that way about God. He deserved my praise. He deserved my worship. He deserved my suffering. He deserved everything that I could give him. Everything I had was his. I never held anything back from him. Job was saying, I disagree with the counsel of the wicked. That's what he's saying. Man, it's amazing how people think God exists for their happiness. How come you're not making me happy, Lord, if you're there? It's the wrong attitude. It's an attitude of wickedness. Now, Job has a conclusion, and it's a warning to all the wicked that have this attitude. What does he say? The very next thing, he says, lo, their good is not in their hand. I got news for you. You wealthy, you happy, everything going well for you, you have no control over it. You didn't do it. Hey, let me give you four or five points here. Number one, it isn't earned. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. God didn't give it to you because you... Oh, you know, I'm so sick and tired of it. You hear people say, well, I built myself up when I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. Yeah, uh-huh. I knew a fella in Guatemala. He worked 12 hours a day driving a bus. He worked 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, no days off, for $1 a day. His salary was $30 a month. He never had a day off. He drove the bus 12 hours. Somebody else, actually no, they didn't have buses running in the night. So he drove it early in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night, and that was it. And then he went home, and that was his life, all of his life, $30 a month. You work real hard, do you? Do you work real hard? You think you've done all this, and that's why you're so wealthy? That's why you got so much, because you've worked so hard? I've seen them working. I've watched them. I remember seeing in the newspaper, back when people read newspapers, it was in the newspaper, there was a strike at the Volkswagen plant in Germany. And they had these pictures, picture of these people with placards saying, more time for family. And I felt far sorry for them. They wanted more time to be with family until I found out they were working a 28-hour work week. They worked 7 hours a day for 4 days out of the week. They rested 3 days and only worked 7 hours during the day. And they had some time of breaks in those 7 hours. You know something? I didn't feel so sorry for them after that. Isn't it amazing how you think, how is it possible you think you earned what you have? Amen. Has it never crossed your mind God has blessed you? Amen. God has just dumped stuff on you, just poured it out on you, just said so much abundance. We got so much food. We got so much food. Most everybody in here is overweight. And if you're not overweight, it's because you're sickly. Or you're a health food nut. I don't know. Hey, it's not earned. Let me tell you something else. It doesn't last. You know what the Bible says about riches? They have wings. They fly away. Oh yeah, it really does. Does not last. What did Job say? He said, "Naked came I into this world, and naked I'm going to go out." Right. You're not taking anything with you. You're not taking anything with you. Let me tell you something else. It won't satisfy. Get it all. You think if you win the lottery, you got it made? No, you won't be satisfied. In fact, I'll tell you a story. I had a lady, I came into the courtroom one time, I sat down next to one of the court reporters, she was just there, and I said, hey, how you doing? She says, I'm depressed. I said, well, why are you depressed? She said, I won the lottery last night. Well, that sounds pretty good. How much did you win? $1,500. Well, how much did you spend for the ticket? $10 for the ticket. Won $1,500 last night. I said, well, why are you depressed? She says, I was one number off of winning $2 million. She only won $1,500. The lottery will not satisfy you. Neither will wealth, neither will riches, and neither will health. And even so, you live 90 years old, you won the lottery, you did all this stuff, you got everything going your way, and you die in a moment in happiness. And everything's just wonderful and peachy. It's not satisfying. Because you died. You got nothing. Hey, this is Job saying, look, their good is not in their hand. You think they've got any power over it? That's another one. It's not in your power. You couldn't keep it if you tried. You think you can keep your health? I know some people are very, very careful. Some people are very, very careful. They never sit on the front row where they get the holy spit. They're careful. They don't want that stuff. They never drink after anybody. They're very careful, right? I get it. I understand. Be careful. Wash your hands. Every time you shake somebody's hand, go wash it. Shake people's hands with your right hand and use your left hand for putting it in your mouth. Never mix them up. So you never get sick. You have no power. You do not have power to keep yourself healthy. And you see somebody else that's sickly, don't automatically assume it's because they're foolish or because, hey, somebody else is poor. It's not because they've done something wrong and you've been all wonderful. Why don't you just recognize God has been so merciful and so blessing to you? He's just been such a good father and such a tremendous provider and all these things. And why don't you pray for people who have less than you rather than judge me as sitting down, looking down on them and judging them. Somebody else is going through trouble. It ain't because you're so great. Come on. You know better than that. You don't have the power to keep your own wealth. I have never felt so. You know, have you ever heard of people saying they want to earn money to feel secure? They want financial security. Yes. They even name financial institutions after that. They say something security, something else security, a security bank, a secure. Why? Because people think if they got lots of money in the bank, they're secure. Tell that to the people who worked for Enron. Yeah. They are not secure. I never felt so insecure as the day I sold a house and I had $60,000 in cash in my pocket. I did not feel secure. It does not make you feel secure because you're not secure. And if you knew what they were doing to our money, every day it goes down in value. And one more thing. It's not about you. Not even your life is about you. Your life is for the glory of God, and that's all. And if you're not glorifying God with your life, you have missed the boat. It's not about you. It's not about what God can give you. It's about what you can give God. It's not about how God can serve you. It's about how you can serve God. It's all it is about. And if you've lived for anything else, you've lived for the wrong thing. Seriously, listen to what God is trying to tell you. This idea that being wealthy and being healthy and everything going well, that has some value. That's not what it is. That's not what it's about. And there's all kinds of people who don't have that. And it doesn't mean anything. The only thing that matters in your life, in fact, it might be one of the biggest curses in your life to be healthy and prosperous. Because you never look to God and say, God, help me. God, I need you. I give you my life. I give everything. If you just make my life have some meaning to you. Because there's nothing else in life. Absolutely nothing else in life. What are you living for? It's not about you, people. It's not about me. It's about God. How can you bless God? How can you please God? How can you serve God? When you pray, do you say, God, give me, give me, give me? Or do you say, God, what can I give you? What? How can I serve you? How can I be part of your great design, your great power, your great purpose? That's what we ought to be doing because it's not about us. It's about serving God. Let's pray. Is there someone here tonight? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Someone here today, I should say. Someone here that can say, I am not saved. I am not right with God. If I died today, I'd go to hell because I have not lived for God and I have